Yeah, we have source number one indicating that you have a mitzvah only eat on the night of Seder. But that's Shmot Yud Bet Yud Chet. But then we have source number two, Yud Bet Tet Vav, two psukim earlier, which says Shivat Yami. So is it mitzvah every night, or is it just the first night? So what do you guys think?
Same. We had the same question with Sukkos. We made a Gzer Shava to Pesach. That's crazy.
But Lamaisa, how do we pass? Is it mitzvah
just the first two? Just the Seder's.
First night. So the Maisa, the Gemara darshens out the mitzvah is only on the first night, like Gabe said, has a whole fancy drush as to how it gets there, and daf chuf chet imsachim, and the rest of the time it's a reshus, and it's not obligatory. However, there are poskim. In this light, it's not just poskim, but a biblical commentary is to say "Ein mikra yatzah midei pshuto," which means the pshat is you should eat all 7 days, and therefore, if you eat matzahs, you get a mitzvah, even though it's not obligatory. If you go out of your way to eat matzah, you get the mitzvah, which is which is what it's all about.
It says explicitly that you can't eat chametz.
Oh, for sure, no eating chametz. We're just talking about matzah. We're just like tof. Yeah, they're not necessarily connected. You might think they're connected. They're not necessarily. They could be two independent.
Well, I believe they're two different.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Lemaisa, who says that? The Ibn Ezra, which makes sense. If you guys know, Ibn Ezra is a pshat guy. His Kuni, who's sometimes a pshat guy, often a pshat guy. And the Rush, in terms of poskim, is of the opinion that you get a mitzvah every time you eat matzah, and the Vilna Gaon also was machmir to try to eat a matzah every day of Pesach. Okay, so we got chumra of the day, first chumra, every day you should have a kezias of matzah. Okay, it might be what's first chumra that we got on Pesach?
Kezias of matzah.
Okay, we'll get to what a
matzah. Oh, sir.
We have to figure out what a kezias is. We'll get there. Kezias.
Hazanish. Big size.
Big size.
Everything else is
kosher. Nice. Shkarach. Good job. I've taught you well. Okay. Next. Okay. So, it'd be interesting to know if in general, when Chazal darshan things maybe against the Pasha Pshat, does the Pasha Pshat still have halachic import? You know, the super Pshat. That'd be a fascinating topic. I'm trying to think of another example. Like, the pshat is one way, but Chazal darshan in a different way. So does the original pshat still have any halachic significance?
Anyone want to share this?
Can you guys think of any other examples where the pshat and like the drasha might be a little at odds, and the pshat? I'm thinking, you know what's one example that comes to mind? Yeah, but in terms of halacha, I'm thinking the Ibn Ezra.
Nefesh shachar nefesh.
Bensor Amara.
That's interesting. Oh, lifting Iver. I mean, another of David's question: If you actually tripped up a blind person, would you be over on lifting Iver? Be good kashya. Another example I'm thinking is.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. I've actually been in that situation.
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway.
No, you were in that situation.
Yeah, with the
regiment. Yeah, okay. Both. It was a mafia situation, right? For sure, both.
It's complicated. Anyways.
Blind. You only became blind after falling.
I read a crazy story yesterday.
There was
a Talmud Chacham who, he went to the doctor, and he was blind. And the doctor didn't understand, because according to the way his eyes were, he should have been blind years ago. So what's the pshat? The Talmud Chacham had devoted himself devoutly to learning Torah. But then at a certain point, he made a decision in his head that after he finishes writing this next Sefer, he's going to stop studying as much, because it's too much. It's not healthy. It's crazy. So then, once he made that decision, God took away his shmirah, because originally God was guarding over him because he was learning Torah. So even though he didn't really have the eyes to see, Hashem did a miracle for him. But once he made that decision to stop studying extra Torah, God gave him his regular eyes. So we should always study a lot of Torah. Anyway, it's back to Hilchos Matzah. Okay, so there's an Indian to eat every night of Pesach, a little bit of matzah. Good. Again, nobody holds that you have to always be eating matzah. It's not like Erev Yom Kippur. Just a kazayas a day keeps the yitzhar away. By the way, it actually works very well with Rav Shlomo's explanation in terms of the symbolism behind chametz and matzah. According to Rav Shlomo, I think based on Rabbi Nachman, matzah represents the eitz hachayim, and chametz represents the eitz hadas. First, you have to eat from the eitz hachayim, and then you can eat from the eitz hadas. So first, we have to eat from the matzah for 7 days, immerse ourselves in matzah, and only then can we have the eitz hadas, which is chametz, which represents, I guess, first you have to immerse yourself in the Torah's way of looking at things, and then afterwards you can experience life in all of its richness, but the basis has to be the Torah's way of looking at things. So we immerse ourselves in matzah every day, and then after Pesach, we can go and have our chametz for the rest of the year. It's a nice mahalach. Anyways, go out. So the next sugya is matzah shmura. Okay, shmura matzah. So what does it mean, shmura matzah? Have you guys heard of this concept before?
It's washed over the entire process.
Good. So it means that...
Call this Israel.
Oh, I did want to give you one more example. I forgot. Of a pshat. The Ibn Ezra says that v'yulata tefot b'ninecha doesn't literally mean you should put tefillin between your eyes. It means you should put the Torah's ideas between your head. So...
But we still put it between our eyes.
We still do. So he says it halachically.
The carrots put it literally here.
Right, we put it here, which is where the brain switches, the left and right hemisphere switch. But anyways, the point is that he says on Chol HaMoed, when we don't wear tefillin literally, but we should still put on the totafot of our heart. In other words, you should still take the concept of the Torah and not forget it.
So there's another shot.
Have I ever... I've never done a shiur about tefillin. I'll tell you a cute story. You're weird. No, because Ashkenazim in Chutzar, it's generally the practice is to wear. Not everybody. Some have the custom not to wear. In Israel, the custom is generally not to wear.
Yeah, I got some dirty looks when I was at the college.
Really?
Yeah. Like, yeah, really dirty. Like, I
come out
and say,
Asur. No, because it's loaded to go to there. You're not supposed to be different than the congregation. So yeah, you gotta, like, hide. I remember once...
I ended up taking them off, but...
I had a different situation. I was in... I was in Chutz Aretz. I was in Chutz Aretz in Shavuos. And the day after Shavuos, I have to wear tefillin. Because I'm an Israeli. Right? So, but I didn't want to miss davening with a minion. So I went to shul to daven with a minion, but I'm like wearing my tefillin. It's yontif for them. So it's really weird. So I like went to the corner, put on my tefillin, and like hid. And I like felt weird that
It's funny to say that, because someone in my shul, they actually got a Leah, but he like... We have a rule about, like, you can't get away if you drive to school. It was like our rule. And, but this guy, it was his Israeli. So he got a Leah, but he drove to shul. Because he was not keeping, it was not young.
It was like a day.
Like, nuts. It's like an uproar. And it was like,
interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not so in favor of all those rules about it. Anyway, true story though. When I was growing up, my dad, I used to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and I why did I do that? Because it was your custom. So I looked at my dad, and my dad was wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But the thing is, I'm Hasidish on both sides. I'm Nusach Svar, both sides are Hasidish. So and Hasidim generally don't wear tefillin. So I asked my dad, why do you wear tefillin? Hasidim don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So he said, I don't know, I saw you doing it. I said, what do you mean? I said, like, let's just both stop. I said, okay. So we stopped. And that was the end of Twilight on Fallen Mode for me. But how did he see me doing it in the first place? I don't know. Anyways. So that was my Twilight on Fallen Mode. All right, getting back to Matzah Shmura. And hopefully we'll watch the Heligan video as to actually see the process. It's a 2-minute video, but it's cool. You can look it up on YouTube. So Torah says, Shmartem et haMatzot. Okay, you should guard over the matzahs, which means, on a technical level, you have to make sure that the matzah, which is made of the same ingredients as chometz, doesn't machmitz, which means there's no water that comes upon the wheat, which could possibly chometzify it. I don't know how to say that in English. Okay? So, there's leaven, yeah, I guess. So, there's two purposes, there are two possible purposes behind what the Shmira is for. One is simply, on a practical level, to make sure that no water touches this wheat. In that case... Nachon. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in that case, I don't need a Jew to watch over it. I just need someone, it could be a non-Jew, it could be a little boy, it doesn't really matter. Anyone could watch over it because it's functional to make sure that the wheat doesn't become, no water touches it, and it's all just practically. As long as we know that that has been done, it's fine. Where there's another possibility that it's not just about technical, there's a spiritual thing. I'm shmirah, shmartim et ha-matzot, I'm making it l'shem shamayim, I'm watching over them, I'm kind of imbuing it with a certain degree of sanctity. In that case, I would have to say a special, like, not l'shem yichud, but like, I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah matzvah, and I would have to have an overbar mitzvah boy do it, a non-Jew couldn't do it. It has to have a special degree of shmirah. So this is a machlokes as to which way we paskin. And the maisa, there are different parts of the process of making matzah, right? So there's the machmir opinion is that you need shmirah from, what's it called? Not grinding?
From the delaning.
From the, I'm thinking the word.
Harvesting.
Tzira. Exactly. So shmura matzah nowadays means it's been watched over from already from the harvesting, from the ksira, which is early in the process of making the bread. Somebody was watching over it. Somebody, a yid, was watching over it, said the same. Not that he's watching it the whole time.
Why have the planting? We funded some yid. Someone's like, what? One person watching the entire time. The whole time saying,
the same is like.
It's like a raincoat.
Assuming that they watch. And you can't eat bread over it.
Just like
stop. Watching to make sure that it didn't become
chametz.
Once it's cut,
they store it aside in a room that there's no rain could touch it. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to watch. It means you have to store the wheat in a room that it can't get wet. That's what it means. Okay, so the shmura matzah means that it's been guarded from ksira. Now, there are more lenient opinions which say that you don't have to wash it from ksira, you have to wash it from later in the process of either klina or lisha.
Even
more lenient opinion.
So, you don't know how much more you're getting these days, whether you're getting it from
klina. Exactly, so I gotta explain. So when
I only get it
from so technically, side. It's still shmura matzah as long as it's been guarded from kneading, from lisha.
Like,
okay, but when we nowadays, when it says this has been shmura matzah, generally that's referring to it being from ktsira, from the more machmir opinion. Wow. And then when it says shmura matzah, it means already from harvesting, it was set aside, and that's the more machmir opinion. So that's what it means.
What do you say?
I did almost all the matzah that you buy in the shuk is shmura matzah. It's from ktsira. You don't have to. I'm not talking about machine-made or not machine-made. That's a whole different thing. We'll talk about that. But I'm just saying, the when you just buy your standard matzah in the store, it's shmura in the most machmir.
Even machine. Why do they say shmura?
Is it anywhere or just in Israel?
Most of the places I've been to, that's shmura matzah, it's good. It's hard not to get shmura matzah nowadays. Most matzah nowadays, they take more machmir opinion because more financially
if
you make your own matzah, then you have to.
No way! Like you buy those like 5 packs of Manischewitz matzahs. They're not shmura matzahs.
That's what I'm saying. I think technically most of them are shmura matzahs. They're not called shmura matzahs, but I think most of them are actually shamur from ktsira, but you might even say on the hechsher, whether it's from ktsira or if it's from lisha. But either way, there are poskim to rely upon, not chumrah of the day, because anyway, it's a chumrah to have ktsira. Meaning there are rabbis. I forgot the Rambam was machmir, and I think the Rith said ktsira, and the Rosh says tchina. That's the lemaisa. We say to get mitzvah shmura from ktsira and from tchina is called not shmira, though technically you can be yotzeh.
Why wouldn't they write on a shmura matzah?
Why wouldn't they write on
this? Like those like five packs of like Aaron's
matzah. So maybe those are only shamur from Tchina. They're not shamur from Ksira, but what I'm telling you is that according to the Rush, they would still be considered shamur. Okay, so
I think of mashur, those are not machine made usually.
So that's a little different machlokes, but machine made versus not machine made, which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah.
Can you trust the matzah mashuk?
I think you can. How about murder there?
Like Amos? Yeah,
I feel like it's like, especially
have a murder trial.
Almost all of them have hechshuv on them. Mm-hmm.
Are they pre-packed? Having like a dina
mil? Yeah, just you don't just buy monsters. Random. You buy the same.
It's not like all the same. Sketchy chalav stands that like have like hundreds of chalavs that are like in the dirt for the past like 3 months.
Mm-hmm. They're all standardized. The truth is, when we went to Zimbabwe last year, we didn't have almost any kosher food. Yeah, remember Pesach? But the only thing we had was matzah. So we went to the shuk, Erev Pesach.
The Zimbabwe shuk.
No, the shuk in Israel, before we went there. Mm-hmm. And what can you eat? Like, we're vegetarians and almost nothing there is kosher. Dried fruit, tons of dried fruit that we had to make
nothing
sure.
Nothing there is kosher?
No. Fruits are kosher, but and vegetables are kosher, but like, you can't just... There was stuff we could buy, but it's very limited. So we just bought tons of matzah, some cream cheese and fruits, and that's all we ate basically every day. Salads, fruits, and matzah for to be machmi. Like,
whose idea was it to go to Zimbabwe?
It was my wife's idea. Oh, thank you for reminding me. I'm hopefully going to be bringing in Mudrick, who's the rabbi of Zimbabwe. He's in Israel. He's learning. He's to get conversion. Hopefully he's going to come speak to us. So I haven't figured out if he should do it.
He's getting conversion.
He's a rabbi.
It's complicated. He obviously considers himself Jewish. They have a long heritage of Jewish tradition.
Are they African American?
And they have patriarchal descent. So from an Orthodox perspective, even though there hasn't been assimilation except for the last, let's say, two or three generations, there is a strong possibility that the father is not Jewish, the mother is not Jewish, and therefore, because he wants his kids to be accepted as Jews, he is part of this program with Rabbi Rishkin to study, and I'm learning with him on Tuesdays, and he's going to come and speak about it, the traditions of Zimbabwe. Yeah, I got the okay from Zimbabwe, I just need to figure out night seder, morning seder.
No way.
I do a night seder, morning seder.
What shaven are they from?
They're from the Lemba tribe, which Shiloh number one is the matzah kosher. Shiloh number two is it kosher enough on the night of Pesach? Can I eat it for the Leil Pesach? There are a lot of people, I think, like myself, who will not necessarily be machmir and shmur the whole year, the whole Pesach, but on the night of Pesach, they'll go out of their way to get that super duper expensive thing. Okay, why is that? It all depends on the machine. ולכן, כל זמן שיש משקיחים המפחים שלא יהיה מחשש חימוץ, as long as there are a מפקח, somebody watching over to make sure there's no חומץ, המצות כשרות, so if you get a box that says it has השכחה, it's kosher, חבר, is it kosher? It's kosher. כן נוהגים צדיקים בריאים לאכול בפסח מצת מכונה. And that's why the Bnei Halacha says, tzaddikim eat machine bein matzah. There's no problem with that. I mean, he's saying, like, all the more so,
even
like,
righteous people,
he's not saying you're only a tzaddik if you eat. He's saying, even righteous people will eat machine bein matzah, so don't worry about it. Ulama she'ela shniya adayin shnuya b'machloket. But in terms of the second kasha, that's a machloket. Yes, Rumim Shah mitzvah, lishmar the matzah, and the chayavet shekol ta'alik, lisha, v'afiyah, yaseh, b'kavanah, mefuresh, l'shem mitzvah, mitzvah. Some people say that the lisha has to be done with kavanah. And the machine can't have that kavanah. V'kevan shah mechunah ena yicholah l'chaven, since the machine still isn't a human, can't mitkavin. Nimsa she'en l'gay mitzvah d'achil en matzah, b'lo seder min mitzvah mechunah. Therefore, it's better not to do on the night of Seder with the machine made matzah. But most poskim are lenient. You can have machine made matzah even on Leil Pesach. Why? What's the svarah? First of all, the main thing is to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. So who cares if I and personally watching over it, watching over the machine, as long as practically there's no chometz. And the man turns on the machine. Right? And if I turned on the button, l'shem the matzah mitzvah, so it turns out that I did have kavana by turning on that button. Another time that comes up is hilchos tzitzis. There are machines that can like make the beged for you or the tzitzit for you. Let's say the beged itself, right? So as long as I turn on the machine with intention, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, that's good enough too, right? Another situation maybe that comes up is the teal siddha. No, it's different than the teal siddha. Where else do we have machines that can do mitzvahs for us? Tefillin. Davening. Machines can't do that. But tefillin, making tefillin, possibly.
Crazy the way they make tefillin.
It's crazy. You saw it. Your dad took you.
Keeping Shabbos.
Your dad took you when you were by mitzvah boy.
Yeah, but I didn't fully understand it until I just went to get my tefillin checked. And I realized that, you know how they show you the different parts of the process?
Yeah.
That's literally the same thing, just skip. Being smushed together. It's crazy.
Wild and crazy. Every time they check it,
they're like, oh, no, love. Have you seen this?
Your dad was very proud. He showed me that he took you to, and your bar mitzvah. He had to fill in me. Joe, do you have a Chabad custom when it comes to Pesach or no?
You're like this.
Good call.
Have you seen this before? This is a piece of leather. It's first this.
Yeah.
And it's smushed like that. And it's smushed even more, and it becomes that.
It's wild and crazy.
Where are we done with that?
We're by davening?
You can see
for today.
No, we're not done. We have to finish the paragraph. We have one more minute.
You can see the creases.
One more minute.
Game.
Lamaisa. Efshar lakayem mitzvah dechila me'atza b'lel seder gam mitzvah. Lamaisa. Can you use hadas b'nei halacha rule? Can you? Yes.
Awesome.
The rabbi moved on in the kaimat mitzvah matzvah yash and hafu bashka chatova, but many are machmir good. Bein tzorech lechol b'chosu dat lel seder mitzvah yad, el ha'idur u lechol metam shirik zayich nistavin lechol l'shem mitzvah matzvah yad. So even according to the machmir opinion, you only need a kazayis of the shmur matzah, of the handmade one, and everything else you could eat from the regular machine-made matzah. Okay, so to summarize for the bechina that's coming up soon, we learned today matzah machine made versus handmade. We said the panini halacha is mekil, but it's good to be machmir on the night of Seder. We learned about the concept of eating every day, another chumrah of the day, eating every day of matzah. Right? Anybody remember which poskim said it's a good idea to eat every day of Pesach?
Ibn Ezra.
Ibn Ezra, Chizkuni, and in terms of poskim, the Rosh and the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. And we talked about Shmura Matzah and how it might be a technical guarding or it might be a spiritual guarding. And these different understandings reflect themselves in the different poskim's understanding of whether handmade or machine-made is better. Shkoyach, that's Hilchos Matzah for today. Bezrat Hashem, we'll learn a lot more tomorrow.
Is it the...